FM CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness. Mikhail Mir's Financial Consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545 Soul.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. It is, I guess this is the second Friday of the month, which means we have Tracy McBurney here today.
No.
Tracy.
I'm scratching my head, it is.
Well, Tracy is now teaching on Fridays, so we have to do it a little bit beforehand so that we can get the show on when it's supposed to be. So we won't be able to take calls today, unfortunately. However, we will be talking about something fascinating. And,
or at least we think it is.
Well, I think, you know, it's a big piece.
I think so.
That, you know, so I think it's an important big piece, which is really, like last month we were talking about the qualities of light. And so usually you talk about the divine. Mm-hmm. And how divines plan and how to let divine take over instead
mm-hmm.
of us.
Surrender.
Yes.
To that divine.
And so then we found this other little piece that may be why it doesn't always happen the way divine would like it to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So cooperation.
Yes. More non-cooperation. More corruption in the government.
Yes.
Oh, the Stephen Harpers of this world are safe because I'm still busy working on my own corruption in the government.
Of course. Probably nobody knows who Stephen Harper is except us Canadians.
Oh, yes, this is true.
Yes.
All the government officials are safe. Our side of the border and yours, I'm still working on my corruption in my own government.
Hmm. All right, so let's talk about cooperation of body, heart, and divine plan.
Yeah. Okay, so I came in today and I thought, it seems to be, as I think I've said before, for the last 6 months, maybe a year, seems I'm always brought back to this conversation with myself and this conversation with my guides and the word cooperation. Another lesson of cooperation. Oh, I'm in another lesson of cooperation. Well, thank you for that, for that new lesson of cooperation, or more appropriately, lack of cooperation. As I was saying before we started today, I often look at other pieces of work. I often look at other stuff that looks lovely, looks amazing. Body talk I've been interested in over the last year or so. And I think one of the things that I've always thought, especially about modalities that are working with muscle testing and working with asking the body or asking some portion of us, I'd always thought, why don't you go one step further and just make sure that that's divinely guided? Like, just make sure that that's really where we need to go. And so it was really interesting to have that kind of backtrack on me, where I'm delivered into this understanding that, Tracy, here's a nice big wake-up call for you. Just because divine recommends it, just because this divine source of love and light within you and beyond is saying this is the way or this is the better way, doesn't necessarily mean that every part of you is ready for that. Feels, not is ready. It is ready or it would not be recommended, but feels ready. Feels ready, really within that part. In other words, doesn't mean that that part of me, that heart part of me, or this particular portion of my body is in the same agreement process with this divine's idea that I am ready. I am ready to do this. I am ready for this change. I am ready for this, to my life to look a little different. I am ready to birth something. This came up for me personally around birthing something. Hmm. So in other words, in my particular scenario, it wasn't I wasn't talking about the whole body. I was talking about, or I was being directed to a portion of the body. A portion of my body was in no way cooperating with this divine agenda to deliver me to this new place. It was not cooperating with that at all. In other words, I have had and still am holding some remnants, obviously, of, it may not be the traumatizing birth of my son in this life. Who knows what else I'm carrying in here that I haven't even thought of yet? That is cellular memory from other people that have walked before me, perhaps, or experiences of my own soul. I wouldn't know. There was something held in the reproductive area of me that was literally saying, no, I'm not ready to give birth to anything else right now. Not ready to do that. And I get it that you're saying that it's time, divine, and I get that you're saying that I'm ready. But I'm sorry, I'm not agreeing. I'm not agreeing, and I don't actually feel like obeying. I don't actually feel like cooperating. I don't feel like being that open to you and to your energies. Because I'm not so convinced. In other words, who knows what the memories are in these particular places? And who knows what the memories are in those places that have direct connection to the God, let's call it the God of our understanding of that time. Right? Okay. So who knows if I'm sitting there with a memory inside of this whole reproductive area that is about a miscarriage from another life and time, my soul's experience, my grandmother's experience. She had three miscarriages, one and then a baby, one and then a baby, one and then another baby. She is my grandmother. She does come from my father's side of the family. It's the only, my son was born by cesarean. So in our family, that's the only pattern of cesarean that I have to go back to that I have any knowledge of. So there could be some connection. I wouldn't know. I haven't investigated it yet. But all I knew is that within minutes of asking for additional help, like really recognizing this part of me needs additional help. I'm not moving forward. I can't move forward. I'm not obeying. I'm not cooperating. I'm recognizing the lack of cooperation in this particular area of the body, and I'm not cooperating until I get some additional help. I need some additional healing here. I need something. You know, I'm not just going to jump off this cliff. Because on some level, this part of me is not thinking this is okay, or this part of me is not remembering my relationship with you, divine, as being okay. In other words, I might be holding some memory from the past that says, you betrayed me, you didn't save me, you didn't save this child, you didn't save what I was trying to birth, you didn't protect that, you didn't take care of that, you didn't take care of me in this process. So why am I going to believe from this area of me that you're taking care of me now?
Right.
Right? Whereas all of these other parts of me are operating from an incredible amount of faith, an incredible amount of trust. And it does speak to how we can be disconnected in various regions of ourself, and not just regions of our body. But I mean, we don't talk a lot. Like, you don't see textbooks that talk about the mind of the gut. You know, the mind of the heart, the consciousness of the heart, the fact that it has a completely different mind, whole other neurological system, different brain than the brain in our head.
Actually, we have a new show, and they're not going to be on much longer because there's way too many complications because they're from Australia. But they actually, it's called embraining, and they talk about how you have to start with the heart. And then you move into the head, and then you move down to the gut. And so they talk about the three different brains and how important they are. It's really quite fascinating, actually.
And I would imagine the integrating of them.
But fascinating. Like, I just, the gut part, I've never really understood the way they have brought it in. The forgiveness piece that has to come from the gut. Brilliant.
What is the name of that particular show or the people that you're speaking
Embraining
about?
Or Grant and... Grant and Marvin. So Grant Susilu and Marvin Oka.
And their book? It's
called Embraining.
It's called Embraining, as in M, the letter?
Yes. And then, so small M and then capital B for braining. It's very, very
okay. Wasn't that interesting that I'm bringing that up? Because to me, I just went, they have to be congruent. They have to be thinking the same thing. And in the realm of this birthing of dot, dot, dot for me, I was not cooperating. That certain section of my body was not cooperating and my heart was not cooperating. So there were two incongruent parts of me that really needed to get dealt with and heard and nurtured and cared for and recognized. Like, I just thought, wow, how would life be different for the people that came into my office? How would life be different for me if I walked that path of making sure that the parts of me that were in non-cooperation going forward into any session were then going to be recognized, were then going to be administered to, were going to then be taken care of, not just not noticed or not cared about or, oh, well, it's okay, you'll figure it out. Like that line, oh, it's okay, you'll figure it out. Well, I did figure it out. I can't tell you how many times I have been to people who are doing energy work, and you know what? I did figure it out. It was a yucky process. It was a difficult process. It was a non-honoring process sometimes. It compromised my relationship with that practitioner, but at the end of the day, I walked out the other side of it and went, I did figure it out. But I still looked back at that practitioner and said, and you didn't help me. You know, you didn't help me the way I needed you to help me or wanted you to help me or would have preferred that you'd help me. Now, at the end of the day, through all of those experiences, I had to turn to that divine. Like, I had to turn to that divine within myself. But I turned in fear. I turned in desperation. I turned traumatized to this divine to get the help that I was looking for. And I'm just looking and going, you know what? This healing process can be much more peaceful, much more graceful, much kinder if we start to recognize those parts of people that aren't in alignment and cooperation with what is being delivered through those channels of 100% pure love and pure light and administer to that.
All right, we're going to go to our first break. You will be right back. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. Fascinating topic, and you can find out more about Tracy if you go to our website, tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com, and we're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Feng Shui for the soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. NewSkyRadio.com.
Step one, you say we need to talk. He walks, you say sit down, it's just a talk. He smiles politely back at you. You stare politely right on through. Some sort of window to your right. As he goes left and you stay right.
Yeah.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. You can find out more about Tracy on the web at tracymcburney.com. We're talking about cooperation, and it seems like we've, you know, discovered a kind of big piece. So,
well, you know what? I will tell you, I think it's a big piece for me. I think I must be ready to allow my process of healing and enlightenment to be a much more peaceful, much more grounded, much lighter, more honoring of me, more respectful of me process. I think that's where I'm at. And I just think that's a great thing. I think these insights just come with that level of clarity because that's where I'm at now. And so everything that has happened previously that has left me in places where some of my greatest healing and greatest levels of enlightenment came from those places where I felt like I'd worked with these incredibly gifted people, but at the end of the day, they had literally, you know, ripped apart and destroyed a huge amount of the framework that I had operated from, and divinely guided, so to speak, but there were parts of me that just couldn't grab onto that. There were parts of me that just could not open to that, just were not going to play along so easily with that. So I'm not going to call it a war, especially in the last little while. It hasn't felt like a war. It's felt more like a little bit of a battle. Like it's felt like a neurological battle, like a nervous system battle, like an emotional and nervous system roller coaster. But I wouldn't call it a war. I'd call it a roller coaster. I'd call it chaos. I call it emotional and nervous system chaos. And I think that chaos was coming from an incapacity to be able to integrate fully what that divine was delivering into all of the places that are me as it sees it. And I think for these reasons, because the lack of cooperation that I had at those levels was not being addressed. Now, I've been delivered some incredible insights about that, you know, really good insights about that. My heart, there was a place in my heart, not here in my head, but in my heart, a place in heart mind, a place in that heart stored, had an authority issue. It still had an authority issue. So when I was working with this lovely woman who really was coming from a place of wanting to channel 100% divine love and light and nothing but that, and she does incredible work, but because of how she's choosing to do the work, she was being perceived by me as authority, right? And it was by her choice of how she did that work. And so the moment that I perceived her as authority, my heart took her in as authority, and that was it. My heart went into non-cooperation, like not easy cooperation with this person that I was now integrating. I was integrating as authority. And so to me, it's almost like, well, I'm just not going to be so gullible. I have had authority figures in the past do some pretty not cool things. I just dated myself with the word cool. I have had some authority figures do some real questionable things in my world in my lifetime. And so to me, it's almost like there's this part of my heart that when I connect to it, it's almost like, what, you think I'm not smart now? You think I'm gullible? You think I'm just going to open up to anything that's an authority that just delivers itself to me and says, hi, I'm delivering 100% pure love and pure light, and here, take it, and open yourself up and just do that? You think I'm just going to do that? No, no, no. You're going to have to prove to me that you are delivering what you are delivering. And so I'm just going to maybe let it seep in slowly, or maybe I'll just keep the doors tightly shut until it's seeped in a whole bunch of other places, and we'll just see how that goes. Which is then going to create chaos, I would imagine, since everything's going to be in just... Anyway, so I just think some facsimile of that was going on at level of heart. And I haven't really investigated all the craziness that was probably going on at the reproductive area, because this is really, I think, about clearing out some issues around giving birth, birthing things, giving life to things, long life to things. I wouldn't know all of the semantics of it yet. I'm just coming in at the beginning of the research of it. How could my healing... To me, I am creator of my life, right? She's not creator of my life. None of the people that I went to work with are creator. I am creator of my life. So how was I creating my life yesterday, and how was I creating my healing and enlightenment processes yesterday that left me on a path that left me feeling at the end of that experience so unsupported, so uncared for, so lost, so I won't say desperately, because it didn't feel desperate, but it did feel fearful. Fearful, just kind of in that fear place, reaching up to this divine, grabbing onto that, clinging onto this divine with no real clarity. You know, help me, SOS, SOS. I'm going crazy. And that's what it felt like. I'm going crazy. It felt like I was being delivered into some level of insanity. And did that need to happen? I don't think so. I will get quiet, more quiet about it, but I think if I had been willing, and if somebody had paid attention to that, recognized that, seen that, how can they recognize that or see that if I'm not allowing that to be recognized? If I want to create a certain path for myself where I have to go through insanity to come out the other end to enlightenment, right, then... Hello. Aren't I just really good at doing that?
We hope that you change that, Tracy.
Well, I think
there's a lot of us that really love your work, and we don't want you going through insanity to get to the enlightenment part.
Yes, well, I would very much like that too. And I like both my ears.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't want to see one of them being cut off.
Are you connecting in with Van Gogh? Is that what you're
doing?
Well,
no, I was just thinking about some of the lovely writers that have walked the path of insanity to write the great novels of our time, right? And yeah. So anyway, this is my new piece. This is a new piece. I don't know. I think I have danced this before. I have danced it before. I've seen it in energy medicine course notes that I've written, but I've never seen how important it is. I've never put it where it absolutely needs to be placed in a protocol for a session. It's like, just because divine has blessed this, just because divine has delivered this, does not mean that this person and all aspects of this person are in the place of allowing that to be deeply integrated and accessed, allowed, that word allowed, doesn't mean that every part of you is allowing for that beautiful healing, for that beautiful wisdom to come in and to integrate and to unlock and to undo and to take you to a new place and to take you to a different life.
So I wonder how many places. I mean, you kind of figured out your place that's the one that's blocking you, but how many of us have how many other different places? I'm guessing my shoulders are one of my places, but
well,
certainly right now. Yeah.
Well, you know, I wouldn't know, but to me, it's like it doesn't look like your shoulders with all the work that has been done, it doesn't look like your shoulders or that particular area of your spine. I don't consider myself to be a chiropractor, an osteopath, or somebody that understands the shoulder links into the whole spinal central nervous system. But it doesn't look to me like your shoulders or some part of your physical body. It doesn't look like some part of your physical body is in cooperation with what this divine is actually trying to deliver. And then I'd have to say, okay, well, what about heart? What about heart? Is heart mind in cooperation with this? Are all levels of this mind? I think so. I think that this mind is in full cooperation. And so where else? In other words, is there another part of the body that has nothing to do with shoulders?
Right.
Another part of the body that is in non-cooperation. Maybe we even have to go outside of the physical body. Is there a part of you outside of the physical body that is in non-cooperation and is therefore interfering with the healing of these shoulders?
And you know when she does something like that? Yeah. You know when she actually gets this like little light bulb that comes off and she's thinking, oh, wait a minute, maybe there's something outside of the body that we know that's my next piece.
Yeah, and I can feel it right now.
I know. As soon as she said it.
No, it's outside of the physical body.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, and I think etheric field. I think there's something going on at etheric field level for you that is in non-cooperation or that's in some state of malfunction that we haven't been able to see, which is why it's in non-cooperation, which is why it's in non-compliance. Like it can't comply. It's not that it doesn't want to, which is non-cooperation. There's some lack of desire, right? Some protective need. But sometimes something malfunctioning or broken, it's then in non-compliance. It can't comply. That part of us just cannot organize itself in the way that it's being asked to organize itself, and for no other reason other than the fact that it can't. It just can't. Like it's just paralyzed. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's just paralyzed. Is there something sitting in the etheric field that is in non-compliance because it's sitting in some paralysis? It's sitting in some memory of paralysis. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Mm. We'll see what else is going to come through.
Yeah.
So non-cooperation, non-compliance, different energetics. Different potential reasons.
That's always so fascinating working with Tracy.
Well, you know what? It is nice to get some of these answers, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's also nice to know that we don't need to know as much as we need to know. Right? Like I'm going to walk away from this experience going, all right, thanks. I don't think I'm ever going to forget again to literally ask this divine if all aspects of my client and all parts of them, whether it be physical body or beyond, are in cooperation with what it is that you are wishing to deliver at this time. I may then have to ask, do we have to have more conscious awareness? Would it be in this client's highest and best good to spend some time getting some story around that? It's not always needed. It's not always necessary. It's enough information to know they're in non-cooperation, some part of them. Get divine involved in that. Get extra help for those parts and aspects of them. And then move forward once they're in cooperation. And I guess the same wording would be for non-compliance, because I'm really getting the take that cooperation and compliance are two different things.
All right, so we will be right back. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. You can find out more about Tracy on her website, tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com, or on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
having trouble telling how I feel, but I've been done, done, done. Couldn't possibly tell you how I mean, but I've been done, done, done. So when I'm tripping my fate, look at the paper, words are written in the sand. When I'm shaking my hips, look for the swing, the words are written in the air. What will come? I was a dancer all along. Dance, dance, dance. Words can never make up for what you do. Easy conversations, no such thing, no, I'm shy, shy, shy. My hips, they lie, cause in reality, eh, I'm shy, shy, shy. But when I trip on my feet, look at the ground, the words are written in the dust. When I'm shaking my hips, look for the swing, the words are written in the air.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney here. We're talking about cooperation, and it's fascinating. We're looking at the body, heart, and divine plan. I think we're going to move into the heart because that seems to be the next.
Well, with my non-cooperation from heart, it didn't have to do with heart wall, which I'll talk about in a second. It didn't have to do with hidden heart wall. It didn't have to do with wall at all. It had to do with other forms of homeland security. I like to call it homeland security, right? My trillion-dollar internal business that I have paid for myself of my own homeland security. All of it probably created, most of it created from a place of non-clarity. So anyway, my issue at heart level was not about a heart wall. It was not about a heart wall. It was about authority. It was about authority. It was a piece of memory that needed to be reconciled, needed to be recognized, needed to be acknowledged, needed to be helped.
So that was the emotion that was attached to the heart.
Yeah.
You've been doing a lot of work around it. Yeah. That's a new kind of a new thing that you've been looking at.
I have been. And I've been doing a lot of work. Dr. Bradley Nelson wrote a book, Emotion Code.
Oh, yes.
And I like that book immensely. And I breezed through it about a year ago. And then I got told by my guides to go through it word for word. And I was like, word for word, really? Yes, go through it word for word. I'm like, wow, that's a really uncomfortable place for me to be, word for word reading. which I kind of laughed about. And, well, it is a difficult place for me to be. I think that there's some sort of learning disability with my reading sometimes. And so I skip over stuff that I just don't see as relevant. And I think a lot of the time it's a good thing. But it's not good for me reading fiction books, because if they just describe the fence as this beautiful thing with pink roses and blah, 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 I skip over all of that and I get into the next part that's the meat of the story, right? And I just think it's because my brain can get overwhelmed with too many words and too much picture. Anyway, back to this. So I was a little shocked when I got told to read this book word for word. I was like, okay. So there, and I understood why when I finished it. I did understand why. There were a couple of really, really wonderful wonderful jewels in that book, and I could have skipped over them because they were just beautiful sentences if I hadn't done that. One of them was his understanding of fear and doubt. He says, when you're in a place of fear, when you're in a place of doubt, you're on the absolute, you're in the absolute opposite spectrum to faith. And although I would know this, to have it written in one sentence was just in itself an aha moment. Well, of course. So it's not like I didn't know it, but somehow I didn't frame it that well. So I thank him for that. Because it was just like this beautiful, simple, I like simple, simple frame sentence. I was just like, yes, yes. Now when I'm in that place of fear, now when I'm in that place of doubt, I'm just going to ask, what have I lost faith in? And of course, invariably, it's always self, right? But somewhere along the line, you can find all the others. So I started to read, and I got into all of his work around Hartwell. And I had a visceral reaction, like a negative body reaction when I read the words that Hartwell was created by subconscious mind. And I reeled back. I was like, no, it's not. And yet, as clearly as I went, no, it's not, I had no idea what created Hartwell. But my whole being, every part of my body knew that subconscious mind was not the answer. I sat with Bruce Lipton when he talked about subconscious mind. He talked about subconscious mind being a series of tape recorders, how it didn't function as anything other than a series of tape recorders. He talked at great length about that on several different lecture tours. And when he was saying it, it just went in like, thank you for framing that truth so simply. And it felt like a truth. And to this day, it still feels like a truth. So to me, if subconscious mind doesn't have a mind of its own, and if subconscious mind is a series of tape recorders, then it cannot be the creator of Hartwell, because that would be an operating system. That would be a mind that had an operating system. Anyway, long story short, that was another insight that was really neat, because that led me to finally getting the answer as to what creates Hartwell, and it's heart mind. It's the consciousness of our mind. That is the very first us that creates Hartwell. But when we actually have a situation where we have felt deeply betrayed by something that is supposed to have loved us, where we feel very betrayed and very let down by love, that can open us up right in that very moment while the Hartwell is being created by our Homeland Security, our divinely guided Homeland Security, by the way, like the really good Homeland Security of us. Our original Hartwell is supposed to be small and temporary. It's supposed to be a temporary, small wall that boundaries us from having any more impact come at that moment until we can literally sit quietly, get connection with this divine, sort it out from inside of us, get ourselves back into connection. Okay? But when there's been this issue with love and betrayal at those deep levels, and when stuff goes in at those very deep levels, what happens is it all gets corrupted. The creating of that heart wall, that initial heart wall, gets corrupted, and everything else gets corrupted around heart and heart protection, because negative energy now has a way in. And so when I started to look at the fact that, well, he's writing about heart walls that are like 60 miles thick with concrete. And I'm like, I'm just asking the simple question. It's like, did a clear, uncorrupted heart-mind create that? No. So if a clear, uncorrupted heart-mind had created that heart wall initially with no corruption in it, how big would it have been? Oh, about an inch. And it would have been made of something just a little thicker than paper. Like maybe something of a thick cardboard. Maybe with a jelly on the outside. Right? And if divine had created it, it would never have been a 60 mile concrete anything that was so hard to break down. So what was one of the interesting pieces was recognizing that if I recognized all of this, and if I turned to this divine to get this divine involved in this heart wall, to get it involved in what had been created, from a corrupted standpoint of darkness and light now joining forces, that if I got the divine involved, that heart wall could now be taken from 60 miles in about 2.5 seconds to back where it should have been. And now you can do that work from that place. Well, that can't happen if I don't have cooperate, if I am not willing to cooperate with this divine. So one of the first things I saw was I have to get the energy, the dark energy, out of heart. Like I have to literally get heart to understand that this is not a good choice to have let this darkness into this place, to let this heart understand this choice. To get me and this heart to understand the choice that I made back then and the fact that it felt like the right choice. But in leaving it as the right choice now, it was leaving darkness involved in this heart, leaving this heart wall 60 miles thick made of concrete, making this whole process much more difficult. And so that was the process. Is literally then looking at this heart and saying, would you cooperate with that? Would you cooperate with letting this divine or something connected to this divine that you would be okay with come and sit with you and counsel around all of this? Sit with this heart, care for this heart, educate this heart, nurture this heart, so that your needs could get met from then, from that point of betrayal, so that now we can let that darkness leave that has taken hold, and we can let that divine in, and we can let that heart wall come to something very small that then can be administered to. What I also saw was with the darkness having entered into the heart wall, then that darkness can then take hold to make what are called hidden heart walls. What I got transmitted was if you have a hidden heart wall behind one of those heart walls, it was never created by light. Divine was never involved in that process. Not one iota was divine involved in that process. And any hidden heart wall behind an original heart wall is negatively driven, including any invisible heart wall. In other words, anything that initial heart wall could be very, very, very self-protective and very light, almost, in other words, very clear. But most people don't have that. Most people don't have that little heart wall that needs to be administered to, that was delivered by some realm of clarity, and they've had it for 25 years. The heart wall was never designed to be in place for 25 years. It was designed to be in place for, that's what they're telling me, a short period of time until you could come into meditation, come into connection with that divine, get the help that you were looking for from that place, keep all of that at bay until you could come into that silence place. And then that heart wall could be dissolved, then divine would dissolve that heart wall, you'd be on your way, you'd be more consciously understanding of what had just happened, more consciously understanding of them. But most times, because it's we somehow love is involved in this, that's where the corruption sits. And then that corruption is what's creating the non-cooperation and the non-compliance.
Wow, this is fascinating stuff. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. We're going to go to our last break. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Life's a game. Win. Call and get advice from today's top coaches that are here to help you run a business, offer legal advice, enrich your relationships, or guide you on the right career path. Our coaches are expert professionals in their field to help you win the game of life. Listen to Coach Me Radio, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and
your head get dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media man begs to differ, judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. You're listening to Tracy McBurney. Tracy can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. And we've been talking about cooperation. The last bit was on the heart. I know that, you know, some of the last work that we did together, we were looking at the emotions. So I thought there must be some connection with the emotions and noncompliance as well.
Well, I think on many levels there is. In other words, even from his book, he talks about the heart wall being created by stuck emotion. So in other words, even if you're just talking from a heart wall perspective, but then as you're reaching into his book, he's not, there's only a segment that he speaks about heart wall.
Okay.
There's much of the book that he talks about exactly what you're talking about, stuck emotion, stuck psychic trauma, which is a ball of emotion, that is contained at a cellular memory tissue level that is creating issue. And I think that's exactly what was going on here in this reproductive area. But I'm actually really curious about it because I've done a lot of work in that area. So it's kind of like, where were you hiding? Where were you hiding? How was that so unrevealed? But again, layers, right? Layers of, I think one of the reasons why we have layers of healing is for one of these very big reasons is that it's almost a little bit an indication of lack of cooperation. Like I'm not giving it all up. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not returning home that quickly. Somehow this doesn't feel safe, or this separation feels like the better place, or, you know, I wouldn't know. So yeah, so stuck emotion can be a huge reason why people are in non-cooperation, or why a certain portion of the body is in non-cooperation. I can't remember from our session, our last session, whether we were actually looking at that for your shoulders. I know that we got taken into all sorts of places that we were like,
digestion.
I was like, where were we taken when we thought we could go here?
And
you know, I was, when I'm working with a client in that particular case, I'll say, okay, this is a double header. It's a double header, triple header. In other words, I just follow what I'm told. And so clearly we were doing something with gut. We were doing something with
small intestines.
Okay. So joy. Mm. Yeah. So isn't that interesting? So doing something to clear up something that would have an impact on joy, would have an impact on positive emotion of joy.
Yeah, we found six emotions, three of them hidden and three of them that were there initially, but they had nothing to do with the small intestine. I don't think any of them did, actually. They were all from some other places.
Meaning the small intestine hadn't made them.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, that was an interesting piece, and that didn't come from his work. Yes, it did. Actually, that was the other interesting thing, and I'm glad that I went back and I had to read every line because I'd missed that the first time I breezed through the book. I thought that was a really interesting piece that he delivers, is the science around the fact that we're now discovering that, well, first of all, we know that emotions now, thanks to Candace Pert, her work, Molecules of Motion, the book that she's written, and several others, we know that emotion is chemical. So you feel an emotion because you are the creator of a chemical. Bravo, you can create that chemical, whether it's negative or positive. But what he delivers in this book and what we're now starting to understand is it's not just when you get angry, it's not just that this brain in your head starts the whole process of creating that anger chemical, but that there are specific organs, specifically in this particular case, liver and gallbladder, that when something happens that elicits the desire for that response, that it will involve the liver, gallbladder in that process as well as brain. So you're actually getting that that chemical transmitted from both of those places, which means if you're going to stay in anger for a long period of time, you're going to be compromising. You're going to be changing the magnetic field of that liver or that gallbladder for a long period of time, in its own right, creating almost a stuckness because you've altered the magnetic field by virtue of the fact that you want to keep creating this negative emotion. You want to ask it to be the creator of that. He doesn't frame it that way, but that's the way I saw it, and I think it's actually quite accurate. And in your particular case, the emotions that we were looking at had not been created by the small intestine. They were being dumped there. So they were balls of energy, like balls of anger, or whatever it was, that had come from other organs or come directly from this brain, and we're now being dumped into this particular area, and you seem to have a propensity to want to store them in a particular area. And I can't remember whether we actually figured out why you'd done that and what way you hadn't. But at the end of the day, all of that would compromise joy.
Right.
It would all compromise enjoyment of life, fun and play. Like all of those things are quite connected to small intestine, according to John Diamond. Lovely work that he does. So I have to imagine that although it's not spoken about in Bradley Nelson's book, I would have to imagine that when a small intestine is healthy and happy and the magnetic field is where it needs to be and everything's spinning properly, that you see that from joy. You see that from your capacity to live in joy, to live a more joyful life, to deliver to yourself things that bring you into greater levels of joy and fun and play. Mm. And if you're not there, and if you really feel like you've got some challenges in those areas, then, you know, small intestine and the negative chemicals that it might, or never, the stuck emotions that it might be holding, the negative chemicals that it might be making, are things that you might want to look at. Including, I guess, being the nutritionist that I am, what the foods are that you're eating that are sticking stuff up in that particular area, which absorbs nutrients. So it absorbs all nutrients. So it will contribute to maldigestion and all sorts of craziness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was, it was fascinating because there were two things that were really big. One was this room that, because I was stuck in some basement, then we created this staircase and went up to the attic and made this new room. So I've been playing around in that new room because it seems appropriate for some reason, because it was expensive and it was I could feel the connection with it. So
nice. Okay. Right. I sometimes get in a little bit of a trance-like state, so although I take some notes,
right,
people will tell me some things about sessions afterwards, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, really?
Really? That's good. I'm so glad. Are you feeling better?
And the other big piece was the religious life that I had, that I was to do penance instead of, and that was a really big piece that was very unexpected. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see how that might pull a little joy out of, and fun and play out of.
Yeah, really, right? Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Exactly. But it's been interesting. I know that, you know, I love having sessions with you because it always brings up, you know, very far out things that you would never really, because you do, I mean, you've always gone way beyond, you know, the typical this world stuff. Like, I mean, at least with me, most of my stuff is, you know, past life and, you know, different emotions for different, I mean, it's fascinating. It's always been fascinating for me. So this new piece of cooperation, I'm sure we're going to find some lovely pieces of non-compliance and non-cooperation that have been, holding me back. Would that be the
yeah,
right
but
word?
On some other level, I also have to look at the divineness of everything, right? Like when somebody is actually holding an illness in place, and people just can't see, then there's always a divineness in that, right?
Right.
There is always a divineness in that. In other words, just because your body might be holding some level of non-cooperation, by the way, I don't know if that's the case, but I do. Anyway, I believe that etheric body is in some sort of non-compliance, but not for any other reason other than it can't, right? It can't function. So I think it'll be an interesting piece to see. But whatever the case and however long somebody's being held in a place, I still do see the divineness of it. Like somehow or other, lessons are being learned. Things are being delivered. People are being met. Things are being written. Babies are being born. You know, like life is going on.
Yeah.
Maybe just not the way that you would really have liked it to frame itself.
My issues around control and manipulation. All right. Well, that's a great show. I can't wait for you next month. So you've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. Please connect with Tracy and find out more information on her website at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. And we've been on Sky Radio, powered by CBS. Thanks, Trace.
You're welcome. See you next month.
CBS Radio, The Sky, and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes and are not responsible for choices and decisions made as a result of such advice or other information offered.